Amen. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I'm glad I know where I'm going when I die. If you don't know that this morning, I'll tell you what, it's very important. Yes, Miss Julie. Who did? They passed away 2 hours ago? It's your cousin? What was the name? What? What was the last name?
Marlin.
What is it?
Marlin.
Marlin. Marlin, okay. Well, let's pray for the family right now. Father, I pray God be with that family, Lord, Marlin family. I pray God help them right now. God comfort them. My God, there's so many people going through so much. And I pray God you'd help each and every one. And I pray bless the message now. Use it for your glory and honor. And God encourage the saints. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take your Bible, look in Luke chapter 23. Luke 23. We talked about seven judgments. Time to preach it again on the seven judgments. And the first judgment a couple Sundays ago, I guess last Sunday. Was it last Sunday? Sunday before last. I preached on Calvary, one of the judgments, the judgment of God upon his own son. And Jesus Christ took our place, got between two people. And that's why he's called the mediator. He's our mediator. It's not the Pope. It's not a priest. It's not some preacher.
Amen.
It's not anybody. It's Jesus Christ. There's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And I talked about what he did on Calvary for us. And that was the judgment of God placed upon him. There are seven judgments in the Bible, and Jesus Christ took our judgment. He took our place. And I saw Mel Gibson made that movie about the Passions of the Christ, and I cried watching that thing, thinking about that was they just touched the hem of the garment when it came to what Jesus Christ really suffered for us and paid our sin debt. And that's why the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. He loved you. He loved you and paid your sin debt. And I realized this, Brother Joe and I was talking about this morning. Does God really hate sinners? The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want people to die and go to hell, but there is some things God hates. And the Bible says he loved Jacob, but he hated Esau. He hated Esau, and that was the Muslim line that you see right now. I mean, Esau coming from that Muslim thing. And people that hate God, hate the Son of Jesus Christ. Right now, you think about this. There's people that do not believe that Jesus Christ was God. And they reject the idea or what the Bible teaches that he was God in the flesh. And they reject that, God rejects them. And he rejects what they think. He rejects them, but the Bible says he's slow to anger, long-suffering. I mean, his mercy is extended day by day. And people that turn down and spit in his face and say, I don't want no part of him. Even the Bible says that some of the Roman soldiers believed on Jesus Christ. And God even allowed Paul to preach and Caesar's household and to see some of Caesar's, the emperor of Rome, some of his household get saved. And the name of Jesus Christ is not just mentioned, it's plowed into history. The name of Jesus Christ is plowed throughout history. And he died and paid a sin debt. And a place is called Calvary where he died. And I said this last time, all the new Bibles, they take Calvary out. We sing them songs about Calvary, about what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary. Thank God for Calvary. But I want this morning, at one of the second judgment, well, I want us to look at this morning. And there's a bunch of judgments in the Bible. And the second judgment is on self-judgment. Self-judgment. You know, we're real quick to judge everybody else. Matthew chapter 7, take your Bible, look at Matthew chapter 7. We're real quick about judging other people. And the Bible tells us he that is spiritual judges all things. You're supposed to judge things. But I tell you what, last time you judged something in your own life. And the Bible talks about self-judgment. We're supposed to judge ourselves. You know why I'm not as hard on people? Because I think about me, man. I think about, man, I'm going to judge myself. But now I got to recognize what sin is. I got to recognize when somebody's wrong. And I teach that to the kids. I used to go out street preaching down in Pensacola with my children. And I'd take my children out, and we'd preach at night. And I would say, look at that. That's a drunkard. Look at that. That's wrong. That's sin. And I would point out stuff to the kids. And I'll never forget Jack Howells' mama. I heard Jack Howells say this. this. Said his mama used to take liquor ads and show it to her son, Jack. And she would say, look, son, that's bad. His father died a drunkard in a drunkard's grave. And he said she would take them things and rip it up, throw it on the floor and step on it. Same way with cigarette ads. She would rip it up, throw it on the floor and step on it and make him do the same thing. And then his father died a drunkard's grave and ended up in a drunkard's grave. And I'll tell you what, you ought to hate sin. But you ought to hate sin in your own life more than you hate sin in anybody else's life. You ought to deal with sin in your own life. Now, the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, or verse 1, it says this. He says, judge not, that ye be not judged. Everybody misquotes that. When you're preaching on the street, they'll say, judge not, lest you be judged. They'll say that stuff to you when you're preaching on the street. And they don't listen to the message. Well, they're listening to the tone. And they don't listen to the message. The message is about the love of God. I mean, Jesus Christ loved you enough to pay your sin debt. And they don't hear that. They always judge you. People always talk about judging, always talking about people judging others. They're always judging. They judge you. And they'll judge your motive while you're doing. And you're out there because you love people. You want to see people saved. And they're judging the wrong motive right then.
Amen.
The Bible says, Jesus said this, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, look at this, you need to mark this in your Bible. For what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Whenever you say, oh, I tell you what, so-and-so, that's wrong, you shouldn't be doing that, the Lord says you're going to be judged by the same standard.
That's right.
Yeah.
You'll be judged by the same standard.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's why you better be careful about judging.
Amen.
And now, I believe in judgment, and I believe you ought to judge things. And I mean, you got to judge when you leave here whether you're going to stop at that stop sign out there or you're going to run into a car or they're going to run into you. You got to judge things. It says, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And what measure you should merit, it shall be measured to you. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye and consider not the beam? He's saying, man, you're talking about people. You're running your mouth about people judging things, and you got a stinking beam coming out of your head.
Amen.
You're worried about a little mote in your brother's eye, and you got a beam coming out of your head.
Amen.
Now, the Lord was pretty drastic and pretty graphic on that. He says, consider not the beam that's in thine own eye. For what wilt thou say to thy brother? Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye. Can you imagine if you went to an eye doctor and an eye doctor came up and said, I need to look at your eyes. And you're sitting over here and he's looking over here. And he said, let me look at your eyes. You say, man, you ain't looking at me. You can't even see where you're going. And that's where a lot of Christians are. They're judging. I say Christians. I mean, folks, I was talking about that the other day. There's a lot of saved people, but they're not real Christians. My wife said to me, why do people do what they do? Why do people act like they act? I said, they're saved, but they're not real Christians.
Amen.
Be a Christian, it means Christ-like. They had a thing years ago and back there saying, what would Jesus do? I mean, man, you got to think about, man, be what the Lord would do in your own life and what how he would act. Judge not, that ye be not judged. And he says, how would thou say to thy brother? Now, that's not saying you shouldn't judge things, like I said. He said, how will thou say to thy brother, let me pull out a mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite. The Lord calls them hypocrite. People, you know what? You can be around somebody, you find out they're very hypocritical. They'll be judging you, and they'll be talking, judging about everybody else, and then you look at their own life, they're just messed up as a Chinese fire drill. Messed up. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy. Look what he says. Give not that which is holy to the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and render you. The Lord said, don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't give that which is holy to the dogs. Why? When you're judging other people and you're not judging yourself, casting your pearls before swine. Because the people looking at you saying, who do you think you are? Don't you see that's a beam coming out of your head? Don't you see that? I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I mean, we're all hypocritical. I've said this before. We're all hypocritical in some area of our life. But you ought to work on that. When you know what area you're hypocritical in, you ought to work on it.
Amen.
You're supposed to judge yourself. But what happens is we get so busy judging everybody else. I've had people tell me how to run the church. They never run a church before in their life. But they know how it's all done.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
I've had people tell me about different things, what they have to do, what I should do, and they've never done it in their life.
Amen.
And that's like a beam coming out of their head.
Amen.
And take your Bible, look with me. Look, look. We're going to look at a couple verses tonight or today. Look at Job chapter 34. Look at Job chapter 34. Look at Job. Job's friends, boy, what a friends they were, you know, came and judged him. And they judged him, and they were all wrong. They were wrong.
Amen.
And God told Job, and he said, and told them, he said, I'm going to judge you. I'm going to judge you with the judgment you've been judging him. And if he don't pray for you, you ain't going to get forgiven. Wow. That was pretty stiff.
Yeah.
God said, if Job don't pray for you, you know what Job was? Job was a good friend.
Amen.
And Job prayed for them. You know what? The test of a real Christian. Let me tell you how you know you're a real Christian. You want to know? Here's how you know you're a real Christian. When you're being attacked by other Christians, other brothers and sisters in Christ, and you still love them, you still praying for them, you still got their best interests at heart. You're still trying to help them. That's how you know you're a real Christian. But what we do, our flesh gets in the way. We want to attack back. We want to go back at them. Job prayed for these men. But here, look at this. Look what he says. Furthermore, he answered and said, hear my words, O ye wise men. Give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge. For the ear trieth words, as the mouth tastes meat. Let us choose to us judgment. He says, let us choose to us judgment. You know what he's saying? He's saying, let us judge ourselves. Judge ourselves. Judge yourself this morning and say, am I right with God? Am I walking with the Lord? Can I get a prayer answered? Everything all right between me and the Lord? Have you had time in the Word of God? Have you had time in prayer? Is everything all right between me and Him? What happens is most Christians go in their daily life and they don't pray. They don't read their Bible. They don't spend time witnessing. They don't talk to nobody else about God. They might say, God's good. They might say, oh, yeah, he's the big man upstairs. They might say something like that. But what about, can you get prayers answered? People always call me to pray. And when the boys got in an accident the other day, when Earl, stand up, brother. Show him the scar. He's got a scar on his head. He's got a scar. It's kind of an improvement on his head. No. God had mercy on him.
Amen.
God hit him head on.
Yep.
And Jacob and his brother. Man, when I got a call and Teresa was calling me, she's crying and everything, I got here on the altar begging God.
Yep.
Help him.
Yep.
Watch over him.
Amen.
I'd do the same thing for you. When was the last time you prayed for somebody in here?
Yeah.
When was the last time you prayed for your family?
Amen.
When was the last time you asked God to help somebody? He says, let us choose to us judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good. When you judge things in your life, you say, Lord, that's wrong. I shouldn't have said what I said. I shouldn't have done that. God, forgive me. And you know, it takes a real man to go to somebody and say, I'm sorry. After I got saved, I went back to people that I hurt. I went back to people that I stole from. I went back to people that did me wrong, and I did them wrong, and asked them, forgive me. I wanted God to be pleased with what I did. I wanted his hand upon me. I said, Lord, and I'm not going to beat nobody out of nothing. I never sold a car after that. I just give it away. I just give it away. I have never forget it. There's a guy stole my wheels. I had a Shelby Cobra Jet when I was 15, 16 years old. Somebody stole my wheels off of it. I was out stealing everybody's wheels. And I stole all these wheels in these cars. And this guy, somebody stole my wheels. Oh, I'm going to kill him. I told my brother about it, but he just come out of Vietnam. We found out the guy who got him. Because I found the wheels on a 55 Ford off the Shelby. I found the wheels, and I said, I was going to kill that guy. And the guy, he gave me the wheels back. He said, I bought them. I said, who sold them to you? We found out the guy, we found out where he lived. My brother was crazy. Just come back from Vietnam. My brother loaded a gun, gave me a gun. He took a gun, and I thought, we just talked about doing stuff like that, you know? My brother loaded the gun and everything. We got the guy's house, and we're sitting in the car, and my brother goes, all right, I'm sitting there with him. We got another guy in the back, and he says, I'm going through the front door. I'm going to kill anything that moves. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, I was 15, 16. I said, my God, over wheels? Job had these friends. Verse 4, he says, let us choose to us judgment. You know, a lot of times we get upset over stupid things. But God sees that stuff. And like I said, I went back to apologize to a lot of people. There's some people that you need to apologize to. There's some people you need to tell them you're sorry for where you've lived. You say, I'm saved now. Then prove it. Prove that you're saved. Prove that you want to be a Christian.
Yeah.
Treat your family right. Amen. Treat your children right. Judging yourself. Take your Bible, look in Psalms 22 or 26. 26. Psalms 26, he says, judge me, O Lord. Verse 1, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. He said, I've walked in my integrity. Integrity is do the right thing. Do the right thing no matter what. Do the right thing no matter who's watching, no matter who says what. Just do the right thing. Integrity. We're missing that in Christianity today. Doing the right thing. I've seen Christians go off and act like a fool. I was with a guy after I got saved, and I quit cussing, quit drinking, quit running. I messed up for about a year. I was up and down. But I was with a guy, and somebody cut him off, and he would go into a rage. I mean, cursing. I mean, a Christian, saved. Go into a rage, lay on the horn, want to kill him. Reminds me of a woman one time came up to her. She was trying to get to somewhere in a hurry. And she's flooring it, and this guy in front of her slows down. And she's thinking, go, go, go. Light's getting ready to turn yellow. And at the yellow light, he slams on the brakes. Man, she almost slams into him. She curses him a blue streak. This woman's cussing like crazy. She's laying on the horn, screaming at this guy. And man, just going off and beating on the steering wheel. A woman beeping the horn. Finally, somebody tapped on her window. It was a cop. That was right behind her. She had never even seen the cop. He taps on the window. He goes, get out of the car. Put your hands against the car. He arrests her. Takes her down. And he books her at the police station. And he said after he booked her, they put her in the jail cell. And finally, the sergeant on duty comes back and unlocks the cell and says, ma'am, you've been released. They charged her for theft. They charged her for all kinds of things, stealing cars, I mean, everything. And she come out, and the cop that arrested her was standing there, and he was handing her all her stuff that she had in the car, her purse and all that stuff. And she said, why did you arrest me? Why did you charge me for all this stuff? He said, ma'am, he's the reason why. He said, you know, when I come up behind you, I seen you cursing and swearing and going crazy and yelling at this guy. And he said, I'm sorry, I made a big mistake. He said, when I pulled up there, I could not believe that it was the owner of the car, because on the back of your car, you got Choose Life license plate holder. And what would Jesus do bumper sticker and follow me to Sunday school sticker and a chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. Naturally, I assumed you stole the car.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
I've seen Christians go crazy. He says in verse 2, he says, "Examine me, O Lord, prove me, try my reins in my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons. Neither will I go with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners," he says, "nor my life with bloody men, in whose hand is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity." He says, "Redeem me, be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place." Means I'm not going to slide. I'm not going to fall. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. You're supposed to judge yourself. And most Christians don't do that. The basis of this judgment is sonship. Being the son of God. You're a son of God. The Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." You're God's child. Do you act like it? Does people can see your father's good works in your life? The basis of this is sonship. You know, Daniel prayed morning, evening, and noon. David said, "I'll pray morning, evening, and noon will I pray." I mean, folks, the Bible talks about at the Lord's Supper table. We're supposed to judge ourselves. We're real careful. Like I said, we're real quick about judging other people. Boy, we run people down in a heartbeat, especially other Christians. But you need to judge yourself first. The Lord's Supper table, take your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And this is serious business, man. I've never seen a day where Christians act more like heathen than they do Christians these days. Christians are more heathenistic than ever before. And they call themselves a Christian. What I say is they're saved. They're not real Christians. A real Christian is Christ-like, acting like Jesus Christ, not blowing up and going crazy, acting like a fool. I told you a couple weeks ago, my sister got so mad at me. She got cussing mad. My sister don't come to church. My nephew is a preacher. My wife and I took my nephew in. And my nephew is a preacher, Chris. Y'all know who he is. Chris preaches. He pastors a church. I told my sister, she came over because she went crazy, the neighbors, cussing and swearing and all kinds of stuff. She came over in my garage. I'm in there working. I'm just leaning over. She says, "Did you hear about what the neighbors are?" I stood up, I said, "Do me a favor." Real nice. I didn't say nothing bad to her. I just said, "Look," that's why I've always dealt with her. I said, "Do me a favor." She said, "What's that?" I said, "Don't tell nobody I'm your brother. And I'm the pastor of Faith Baptist Church." Because she goes around, "My brother's the pastor of Faith Baptist Church. You need to go to church there." She don't even go herself. I said, "Don't tell nobody I'm your brother." I said, "Because you shame me." Man, she got so mad. She went over to my kid's house cussing and everything. She come back and apologized. She thought about what I said. What if God said that to us?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Don't tell nobody I'm your father.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's good.
Because you're acting like your former father.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It says this, talking about the Lord's Supper table. We have the Lord's Supper table right at the first year. We have the Lord's Supper table. And it's examining yourself. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to examine yourself every day.
Yeah.
Every day as you get in that book, and this book is a reflective glass. As you read this Bible, you'll read it, and then the Lord will show you something in your own life that he doesn't like. And he'll tell you, or maybe it might not be that. And maybe he'll say, "You need to do this," or maybe you need to do that. And God, this book is reflecting God's mind. And it shows you, that's how God speaks to you. And you read this book, God will speak to your heart, and then you'll say, I need to do better in that. And when you leave church, I've had people leave church so, I mean, fired up mad. And Brother Bob used to sit at the door there, and Bob, he's not here now, he must be sick, but Bob sit at the door, and people say, walk out, and they say, he's talking about me. He knows about me. I didn't know nothing about them. But they get mad because of what I was preaching. And folks, if when you leave church, it ought to come to a point where you can leave with joy, or you can say, hey, there's some things in my life I need to change. And that's the right way. I mean, Lord, there's some things that I need to work on, and I need to worship you more. I need to come in here with thankfulness. I need to come in here praising him. Not only in here, but in my car. If you go from in here singing praises to God and go out and put your country music on or some rock and roll or something, I mean, that just defeats the whole matter.
Amen.
That defeats everything.
That's right.
You're just going from God's house to the devil's house.
Amen.
Listening to crap. I said crap.
Amen.
And no wonder you don't have, when you're riding down the road, you listen to gangster rap. No wonder you want to kill somebody. Worshiping God and examining yourself is a part of the Christian life.
Amen.
It's part of our nature now, the new nature.
Yeah.
When my wife said to me, why do people do what they do? I said, because number one, they're not growing.
Right.
And number two, they don't want to.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
And I would say this, if that's happening in your life, you say, God, help me to want to. Change my want to's.
Amen.
As you grow, you want to get closer to him.
Amen.
The Bible tells us this about the Lord's Supper. Look what he says. He says, verse 28, he says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread, talking about the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's so serious about this, he says, this is serious business when you need to examine yourself. And I believe it's serious business on a daily basis we need to examine ourselves. Our thought life, if you don't, I'll tell you this, if you don't do it, your thought life will go crazy. You'll be off the charts in the wickedness. Your thought life, if you're not putting something back in your mind from the Word of God and getting in prayer and reading your Bible and something and singing praises to Him, your thought life is already, even as a Christian, your devil, I mean, you got a battle going on right here. It's right there, man. Every day you live, there's a battle going on. But the more you put in good things, it weeds out. I said weed out the wicked things.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll help you to control your thought life. The devil tries to tell you all kinds of stuff. And what happens is if the things of God doesn't excite you, you'll find something else that will.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
And it's usually the flesh.
Yeah.
The flesh will excite you. You'll find a football team, a baseball team, a basketball team, or a hockey team. I like all that stuff. Or cars, or motorcycles, or whatever it might be. You'll find something that excites you more than the things of God.
Yeah.
You're supposed to examine yourself.
Amen.
You're supposed to say, Lord, I don't want to love that stuff more than I love you. I want to be faithful to you. I want to honor you. I want to lift up my voice like a trumpet and praise you. I want my children to see that. I don't want the things of this world to be more exciting to me. There's some excitement out there. I mean, I like some things. I like race cars. I like motorcycles. I like football. I like those things. I like basketball. I like doing things. But they don't excite me like when somebody gets saved. We seen a guy get saved last Sunday night. He'd probably be here tonight. His life's ruined, wrecked. And to see somebody get saved and then see God start molding their life and they start getting their life together and start getting back and start honoring God and start raising their family for the Lord and God restores some things. And the Bible says that, I'm talking about Israel, he says, I'll restore what the locust has eaten.
Amen.
God will restore some things in a man's life.
Yeah.
So how do you know that? I've experienced it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Firsthand.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Bible says, let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. It said, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. It's not going to hell. You're not going to go to hell. As a Christian, you can't go to hell. But it says he bring damnation upon himself. You'll bring your, what you've done has brought judgment. You've allowed yourself to be judged already. And God's holy God, and he's righteous. You've allowed the judgment by, you know, the Bible says, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Your own words will condemn you. Your own life will condemn you. That's what the devil wants to do for every Christian in here. He wants your life to condemn yourself. He won't have to do nothing. He'll say, I didn't do nothing. You ever seen football guys, they have a penalty, they push the guy or they hold the guy, and as soon as the flag's flown, they go, wasn't me. Wasn't me. When the guy puts his hands up, that was him. Look what the Bible says. Let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread, drink of that cup. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. The Lord's body is very serious. Jesus' body suffered more than any man ever could, being God in the flesh. And God says, you're going to bring more suffering? You want to try to bring more on my son, your brother, that intercedes on your behalf? He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak, sickly among you, and many sleep. If you would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. See that thing? The Bible talks about self-examination. And Dr. Jesus, if you have a problem, you can go to Dr. Jesus. He'll show you. That's why preaching of the Word of God is like going to the doctors. When the Word of God's being preached, God's pointing out some things. It might not even be anything I'm preaching on, but the Holy Spirit of God's sitting in here, and you're sitting quiet, and you're listening, then the Holy Spirit of God starts working on you. Amen. That's why it's important to be under the sound of the Word of God. Amen. He'll start working on you, start showing you things in your life that you need to change. Yeah. You ought to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you care enough about me that you want to show me. Amen. You're showing me now. Take your Bible, look in Hebrews chapter 12. The basis of this is sonship. We need to judge ourselves on a daily basis. It's purging yourself, delivering yourself from weakness, delivering yourself from sickness, even death. Now, I'm not saying all the deaths everybody has passed away is this, for this reason. God has an appointed time for every man. But can you imagine you get to heaven and the Lord said, what are you doing here? You wouldn't listen. You wouldn't listen. So I took you home. Look in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, look what it says. I love this. Hebrews 12, and look at verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. We get impatient. We want to do this. We want to go do that. We're like little kids going to the playground. You watch a bunch of kids, even one child go to the playground. They'll run over here and they'll say, I want to do that. And that's where most Christians are today. They're impatient. They're not steady. Wherefore, seeing we all compass about with such great cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that's set before us. God knows what race and what lane you're supposed to be in. God knows where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing. And if you're patient, you say, okay, God, help me to do your will. I want to be in your perfect will. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. Holy. See, not just your body. It's got to be holy. Acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. My mind has to be renewed on a daily basis.
That's right. Amen.
Daily. Why? Because my mind can be messed up. Before I was saved, my brother would have all these triple rated X movies. And he would show them to me as I was like 7, 8, 9, 10. You talking about a perverted mind from the stuff I saw. And we all have got perverted junk that's in the head. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Yeah.
This book, as you read it, is water, washing of the water by the word. You wash your mind by the word. It's still there, but God suppresses it. We've all, there's nobody in here that's innocent. We've all had wickedness, and we, even now, you get a cell phone, you get the smartphone, you have all kinds of wickedness at your fingertips.
Yeah.
Look what it says. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, verse 2, chapter 12, it says, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. I mean, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your what? Like I said, the biggest battle you have is your mind. And if you're not putting this book in there on a daily basis, you'll be defeated. You'll find something to comfort your mind. So you'll go drugs, drinking, whatever that can, that mind would scheme up to make it the flesh satisfied. The mind is a schemer. And the mind is their battlefield. I've said this, we've heard it a million times here. We got three enemies. Y'all say it with me. The world, the flesh, and the devil. You know who gives you the hardest time? The flesh. It's not the devil. It's not even the world. It's you. And if you don't have enough character, enough integrity to get in this book on a daily basis that you know is going to help you, and it's going to suppress that mind. People get discouraged. They get down and out, so they find a pill. They try to take a pill for everything.
Yep.
They try to lift them up.
Yep.
Look what the Bible says. For it says, for consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted on the blood, striving against sin. For ye have forgotten the exhortation that speaketh unto you on the children. He's saying, you're my children. God doesn't want his children all screwed up. And God's children today are all screwed up. And you tell them, this is the remedy. This is the way to get out of it. And they look at you like dumb sheep and go, bah, bah, bah. And you go,
right.
Come on, snap out of it, stupid. Bah. Bah.
Yep.
And when somebody tells me, you don't know how hard it is, I want to slap them upside their head. It's not that hard if you follow the program.
Amen.
It's not hard to be a Christian. You just got to put yourself back. Get rid of self. Judge yourself. Say, Lord, I'm feeling kind of down today, and that's wrong. God forgive me for that. God, forgive me for feeling down. I ought to be praising you. I ought to be thank you. You start talking like that, brother, you'll come out of the valley.
Amen.
Well, what happens is you like feeling sorry for yourself. You know what Saul did? Saul had an unclean spirit. He got an unclean spirit from God. You know what he said? Nobody feels sorry for me. You know why people get on Facebook and tell everything? Because they want somebody to feel sorry for them. Pity party. Pity. Have come to my house and we all have a pity party. If I felt bad, I'm not going to tell you.
Amen.
Praises to God. I'm gonna come out of it.
Amen.
Examine yourself. Look what else it says. Verse 4. Ye have not resisted on the blood, striving against sin. You haven't fought that hard. You haven't fought at all. So you try to find some other way out. Judgment. This is a self-judgment. Judge yourself. The Bible says if you judge yourself, you'll not be judged.
Amen.
That's over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If you judge yourself, you won't be judged. Judge, this is wrong. This is wrong for me to think like this. I mean, talk to yourself if you got to.
Yep.
And man, find some. I've gone across the radio, and I used to love Motown and oldies. You know, I call my wife up a lot of times and sing an oldie to her. You know, she'll say, you're so stupid. And I'll just mess around, you know. And I'll sing, you know, carry on like that. But I tell you what thrills my soul is Jesus.
Amen.
And those songs will encourage you. And man, it'll take you another mile down the road. He says, you haven't fought that hard to get over it. You haven't fought against that hard. And look at verse 5. Ye have forgotten exhortation that speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. I've had to rebuke my grandkids. And I've rebuked them. And man, I've watched them. I've had to rebuke my own kids. I mean, I've rebuked my children. And I've watched their lip go. They start doing that. And I said, that's wrong. Don't do that. We were riding down the road the other day. Jordan was in the truck, and we went to Brother Ken's, and Jordan got to drive Brother Ken's gator. Man, he got hyped up. He wants a gator. I mean, we got two dune buggies, two four-wheelers, and a scooter. He wants a gator. And we drove that gator. I sat over there, and I said, you doing good, boy? And he's driving that thing around. He said, Papa, because we went down and looked at one. I said, that's too much money. So we're riding down home, and he said, Pop, when you going to get a gator? When you going to get a gator? I said, I'm not going to get a gator. He said, well, you lied to me. You told me it was going to happen. I went, boy, you better calm down. You better straighten yourself up. He went, I'm sorry, Papa. He just got hyped up.
Yep.
I kind of helped him get hyped up, but... The Lord will chasten you. Jordan didn't stay mad at me. He didn't do like some Christians do. I ain't gonna never talk to you again. But God rebukes you, and God tells you you're wrong. And God says, don't do that again. You better listen.
Amen.
Or next time, it could get a little harder.
Wouldn't
it be terrible to go through this? It's like Groundhog Day. Go through the same judgment every day. Every day you get up, go through the same old stuff because you didn't learn. Take another lap around Mount Sinai till you learn your lesson, till you quit your griping and your complaining. Take another lap around Mount Sinai. 40 years around Mount Sinai. Why? Griping, complaining.
Yep.
Can God? They said, can God do that? Can God? Look at verse 5 again, and we're going to close. He says, "You have forgotten the exhortation that speaketh on you on his children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he what? And scourges every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not?" And it says, "If ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers." We're all going to get chastised. He says, "Then are ye bastards and not sons." God only corrects and spanks his own children. And I said, spank. You know what? I know when I'm getting a spanking. And you know what I do? My dad whipped us. Man, my dad used to beat us with a rubber hose and a shovel and a broom, anything he got his hands on. My dad was very cruel about that. But you know, God's not cruel. God does it for our learning. If you don't learn, then you got to go through it again. And that'd be a terrible thing. It says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall not we much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he," look what it says, "but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his" what? God wants you to be holy. Amen. "Be ye holy as I am holy." Right. So God has spanked you to get you to the place where you'll want to be like his son. Holy. Self-judgment. Very important in a Christian's life. And you know what? People don't want to be alone. They don't want to be alone by themselves, because why? That's when the Holy Spirit starts dealing with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take your Bible, look at 1 John. We'll look at this and we'll close. 1 John. 1 John. And for somebody, the devil had to come up with this scheme to tell people, you don't have to confess your sins after you're saved. I know it was the devil. Whoever came up with this hyper-Calvinism or hyper-dispensationalism, say that you don't have to confess your sins. That's just the devil allowing you to get beat because of your disobedience. And somebody came up with that thing, and we had some guys in the church that believed that stuff, that you didn't have to confess your sins after you're saved. The devil came, told them that stuff. That wasn't God. It'll bring judgment upon you faster than you can say, "Whoop me, Lord." If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word is not in. That's not getting saved over and over and over and over again. You get saved one time. But as a child of God, I got to ask for forgiveness. As a son of God, I've got to ask for forgiveness. We're supposed to judge ourselves. And if you don't judge yourself, the Lord's Supper table is one. The reason why the Lord's Supper table, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me until I come." Why? Because a lot of Christians will not judge their own life. Real quick about judging other people. Boy, we point that finger. We'll point that finger and say, "You see what so-and-so did? You see what they, you see what?" And but and the Lord said, "What about you?" You know what? If you spend more time judging your own sin, you wouldn't have a whole lot of time judging others. God help us. Father, thank you, God, for your mercy and grace. My Father, thank you for this book, Lord, that tells the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help us, God. And Lord, you don't pull no punches. You put it straight out there. And it's plain as the nose on our face. My Father, I pray, God, help us to be self-judge. Help us to judge ourselves, so we won't be judged. Lord, I know you don't want to have to judge us. When something's right, old Bob Jr. Sr. used to say, what's right? He said, do right to the stars fall. Doc used to say, do right. If you can't do right, then kick yourself around the block. But God, we're supposed to judge ourselves. Self-judgment. Help us to do that. Help us to get in that book. May the Spirit of God deal with it. And preaching is for for us to exhort one another and to point out things in our lives that we can do better. My Father, thank you for preaching. Thank you for the book. Thank you for church. Thank you, God, for these kids to come and help somebody today that's not saved get saved. How many can say with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around?